Excuse me, recordings are started.
Great. Thanks, Rochelle. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all. Welcome to the GMSO Standing Selection Committee call on the 31st of May at 1400 UTC. On the call today, we have Max Maldova, Gil Helsingin, Susan Calducci, James Bladel, and Lori Schulman. We have apologies from Frederic Guillermo and Marika Cummings from staff. And from staff, we do have Emily Barabas and myself, Michelle DeSpider, online. As a reminder to all, please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. And I would like to turn the call back over to Susan Calducci.
Thanks very much, Michelle. And good morning, all, and thank you all for being on the call. We've invited James this morning to give us his impression and experience with being the EC rep, which might help guide our developing criteria for this role. So, James, can you just give us some insight on what you've done so far and what you think the role might be required to do?
Thanks, Susan, and good morning, everyone. Thanks for inviting me. So my experiences with the Empowered Community Integration are limited and brief, but I'll give you as much as I can. For quite a while, and first I should point out that because this committee has yet to define the criteria and make a selection, I have been the interim representative. I've been appointed by a motion of the GNSO Council, but you know, at the time we always envisioned that there would be a permanent a representative from the GNSO coming from this committee. I just point that out because every time, you know, it comes up in discussions on the Empowered Community, I try to remind them that I'm the interim appointee and so forth. But in any case, the Empowered Community Administration was fairly quiet for quite some time. It is sort of feeling itself out in terms of figuring out what its processes look like and what you know, what, how it should operate, particularly for things that are going to be routine, like reviewing the budget. Or appointing folks that are nominated by one of the SOs or ACs to the ICANN board of directors. Those things are not necessarily emergency events, but they are you know, defined in the bylaws and in the articles of incorporation as something that the Empowered Community has a role to either approve or reject. And so. And so that's something that we're trying to define first off is how do we handle these recurring routine functions. And then, of course, there is there are the bigger functions that are envisioned as part of the new accountability mechanism. So, for example, if the Empowered Community wanted to initiate a review of the of an ICANN board decision or recall a director or spill the entire board or reject the ICANN budget and fall back to the caretaker budget, all those big levers of power are available to the Empowered Community, but not necessarily envisioned that they would be used regularly, if at all. They're just kind of there as a safeguard. Most of the participants are the chairs or whatever designation is for each SO and AC. I think it's chair for all of them. And all of us have agreed that we are just stand-ins or representatives or, you know, a mouthpiece, if you will, for our community, and that none of us have the ability to act on behalf of our community or bind our community to decisions except and unless those communities have instructed us to do so or have taken some formal process to instruct their representative to take a particular decision or respond or vote a certain way or et cetera. And this came up, I think, in an interesting way most recently when, I don't know if you're aware, we and the GNSO nominated Matthew Shears to become the non-contracted party house board of directors. And that posed the question of, well, okay, so the GNSO nominates and the empowered community appoints or designates them to the board. Does that mean that the ALAC and the GAC and the CCNSO and all the other groups then go back and vote on our nominee? And that raised an interesting sort of discussion, and I think correctly the group decided no, that as long as the internal procedures for each SO and AC were followed, that the empowered community did not have the right to kind of review or veto or whatever a board nominee coming out of a different community. So it's kind of those sorts of processes that we're figuring out as we go, and noting that this is an organization that's in its infancy and is moving very slowly and deliberately to keep itself in mind that it, you know, is creating precedent that might, you know, reverberate for years. And then just finally, I think to Susan, your last question, what sort of a person or what qualifications would be required? I think I think first and foremost, you want someone who understands the role and that the role is not to be a member or participant in some sort of Uber council or super board or whatever, you know, whatever misconceptions folks might have about what the empowered community actually is and does, that they are speaking on behalf of the entire GNSO community, and if the entire GNSO community has not authorized them to speak on a particular subject, then they don't. They don't speak, they don't vote, because, you know, they are, in a way, they are representing or, you know, representing the wishes or the sentiments of that community and should follow that. I think it's someone who's, at this stage in the game, someone who's thinking down the road, that, you know, if we create a process now that, you know, how are we going to feel if we're shackled to it, you know, 5-10 years from now, if we can even conceive of that. You know, I think someone who gets along well with these kinds of Byzantine processes, I think if you want to cut through the red tape and get to the outcome, or if you've got a score to settle, against, let's say, ICANN, the organization, or the CEO, or somebody like that, then this is probably not necessarily a good sign that someone will be comfortable operating as a representative in the empowered community. I think it is very, very much a participation in a very abstract construct that is a big responsibility, and I think needs to be approached carefully and need to be recognizing when, you know, look, you know, the GNSO hasn't really considered this issue. I can't speak to it. I can't participate in this discussion. I can't cast a vote. I'm going to have to go back to the community and report this. Because I think that's going to be probably the most common response for all communities when something is brought before the empowered community that wasn't socialized across the entirety of ICANN. So I don't know if that's helpful. Like I said, we're still kind of trying to paint the path forward, but it is, I hope more than anything it's clear what this is and what it isn't. And then maybe that helps you formulate an idea of what sort of criteria you would use to judge applicants.
Thanks, James. That's, quite a bit of information and good to get your insight since you're filling the role right now. I have a few questions, but it looks like Emily and Yulf have questions. So, Emily, do you want to go first?
Sure. I was just going to raise this is Emily Barbas from staff. I was just going to raise a question that came up on an earlier call about time commitment for the role. And I know, James, you said that, you know, because it's early days still, there's a lot of process development happening, but is there any sense that you have about how much of a time commitment this is going to be, and what that might mean for the selection process that the SSC is going through? Thanks.
Thanks, Emily. So time commitment at first was zero, and then I think has picked up fairly significantly as we approach the meeting in Johannesburg, and primarily because we are going to be reviewing a change to the bylaws, which I think everyone is aware of. That has to go through the Empowered community, so prepping for that, and then these defining some of these processes that are going to be used on a recurring basis, like a selection of board members. So it's picked up quite a bit, but I suspect that once all of those processes are defined, it will drop, you know, the time commitment will drop down again once this is stood up. But even, you know, even at the worst case, I would not say that this is a fairly significant burden. If it's an hour or two a week, that would probably be pretty extreme. I think it's more important that someone who's involved, and particularly since I'm a member of the GNSO, I would say, you know, anyone coming from the GNSO should have perfect attendance. So it's not so much that it's an hour a week or an hour a month, but if it is an hour a month, you know, it's important that the representative for the GNSO not be absent for that hour. So it's more about a reliability, I think, than an overall time commitment.
So within that time commitment, is that mainly emails or phone calls?
Yeah, it's almost entirely participating on an email mailing list. There was one phone call, and I think when we get to the ICANN meeting in Johannesburg, there'll be one session.
Okay. So you, this role could expect to, or the EC meets one time during each meeting, do you think, or?
No, I don't think it's necessary for the EC to meet every meeting. I think that they're meeting, they're meeting in Johannesburg because there's a proposed revision to the bylaws, but if that were not on the table, I don't think that they would be looking for a session in Berg.
Okay.
I think you could conceivably go an entire year or even longer without without the Empowered Community Administration convening.
Okay. And before I go move forward with a couple more questions I have, does anybody else have questions for James? I noted, Yulf, that you were asking the going to ask the same question as Emily. Okay, and Maxim's typing. So maybe I'll ask a question before. So you had said that right now all of the EC reps were the chairs of their communities. So did you get the impression that that would continue with the other SOs and ACs, or were they defining processes to select a rep for this role?
It's a good question. I didn't get the impression that they were defining any selection processes. That doesn't mean that they aren't doing so, but I presume that because none of them are referring to themselves as interim appointees, that they have considered this to be a function of the chair of that particular SO or AC, and part of that job description, if you will, is to do this, and so they just kind of bolted this role on to that role, because it's possible that there may be something going on that they're not volunteering that at these EC discussions.
Okay, and then my cat is doing funny things and distracting me here. Not sure what she's doing over there. Sorry about that. And then the other question I had was when you suggested that this person would need perfect attendance, would that suggest that we should put an alternate process or also select an alternate, someone who can fill in if you know, because eventually somebody, if whoever fills this role, something, life always happens. So we, you know, they may not be able to make a meeting. Or do you feel like because the work's mainly on the mailing list that it is, you know, someone could pick up for that person via the mailing list, or that person, you know, because there's not a specific time frame and meetings for the most part, do we need an alternate?
Yeah, it's a good question. So my thinking is that because it's mostly on the mailing list and because the calls, when they do happen, are usually, you know, conducted via doodle poll, that, you know, it is something that you could probably not have a standing alternate for as long as the GNSO process has some mechanism for the representative. You know, like you said, I mean, maybe you're walking out the door to get into your taxi to go to an ICANN meeting and fall and break your ankle or something, and you end up here in the hospital instead. Even then, you could probably participate remotely, but I guess in that situation, it might be good to have some sort of a mechanism to designate an ad hoc alternate. I don't know if you need a standing alternate. I think more something that you might consider more importantly than that would be just kind of the processes on you know, what happens if this person changes jobs and leaves ICANN or somehow becomes unqualified or does something that the GNSO says, hey, wait a second, we didn't tell you to order sandwiches for the empowered community. What are you thinking? You know, I think that might be how do you course correct a representative that's going off the reservation might be, and maybe that's not part of the selection committee criteria. Maybe that's something more for the GNSO proper, but it's just something to think about. I think it has probably is higher priority than a standing alternate. I think as long as there's a mechanism to designate and say, you know, I broke my ankle on the way to the airport, and you know, this person's going to represent the GNSO, and then have a mechanism on the GNSO that that ratifies that, you know, quickly, or gives that power to, like, the say the chair and vice chairs of the GNSO to quickly approve an alternate or something like that. Something like that might cover you in those situations.
Okay, but I'm so just that's a good idea.
For that.
And then you had mentioned, you know, if someone sort of went rogue and did, you know, ordered those sandwiches when that was not approved, do you feel like, I mean, if it was a current GNSO council member, whether it be part of the leadership team or just part of the general council, would there, you know, I think that there could be sort of immediate correction if the criteria allowed for a former, you know, council member who's no longer on the council. Do you feel like that would be would we have less control there, or does it really matter? Because either way, we could just remove this person from the role.
I think either way, you could just, yeah.
Okay. And it looks like Maxim has a question.
Maxim Alzoba, for the record. I think we might need the procedure of removal of the person. For example, when GNSO Council would realize that the person did something wrong, extremely wrong. So they notify that this person no more can represent GNSO, and the procedure of fast selection of the new candidate starts. So I suggest we at least mention development of procedures for removal and for fast insertion of the new person. Thanks.
And that's a good suggestion, Maxim. So we can add that to our list of to-dos for this role. Go ahead, James. Did you want to?
James speaking again. Just as a thought, I think some of this is probably more, I think, appropriately taken up by the GNSO Council and by the folks who are working to implement the GNSO Council's procedures and align them with the new bylaws. I think the selection committee should view its role, I think, fairly narrowly, which is defining the criteria and then putting out a call for applicants and then, you know, evaluating the applicants and then, you know, sending those to the council for adoption. I think procedures to control how the GNSO representative represents the GNSO and procedures to kind of yank back on the leash if they go too far, like they're running out into the street a little bit. I think those things probably, just in my opinion, but those things start to go beyond what the SSC is supposed to do and start to fall back into the lap of the council.
Okay, and Maxim, did you have a...
Yes, it's a clarifying question. If we just mentioned that such procedures could be developed for the better timing, et cetera, without saying how and by whom, is it better this way?
James, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you. Yes, absolutely, Maxime, agree that, you know, if the SSC identifies something like that where there's a gap, that they should put that to-do item on the GNSO list and say, look, we've discovered there's this hole here and you need to develop a process to fill it to cover us in the situation and you know, set us up for the potential that we'll have to reselect a new member.
Okay, so we can just create a list of to-dos or things to think about. And we don't need more work, really, for this this committee. So that will simplify our work a little bit. All right, is there any other questions for James? Any other input, James? What would you like to see in the criteria? Cheating a little bit.
Well, you know, if I'm free to speak, I feel like this should be, at minimum, should be someone that was on council and potentially one of the chairs or vice chairs, maybe on a rotating basis. Just the reason I say that is because I'm concerned that if we throw this open broadly, A, it becomes more difficult for the GNSO to, you know, directly manage the representative who is, you know, presumably on a very short leash, right? And B, it means we have to duplicate or create redundancies like rotation and recall and election and term limits and all the things that currently exist for chairs, vice chairs, and counselors. And it also, I think, if we were to open it up wider, starts to feed this, I believe, incorrect assumption that the empowered community is like a review team or like a, you know, like the board is somehow this thing that exists above the GNSO or above ICANN. And it's within the community. It's a voice of the community. It's not a separate structure. I guess, you know, technically it is, but I mean, it shouldn't be seen as some sort of a closed star chamber, Supreme Court of ICANN type of thing. And I think that it's important that we push back on those and say, nope, this is us. This is the GNSO. This is the CCNSO. This is all of us. And this is how we kind of express ourselves through this microphone. called the Empowered Community. And I think by connecting it to existing roles as opposed to creating a new role, that I think, and I say that as somebody who, you know, is got one foot out the door, right? I'm term limited out at Abu Dhabi. I feel like that is probably the right way to go for the long term, rather than creating heavier processes that create a distinctly different role. That's just my opinion, and just seeing Yul's question. No, I don't think so. I don't think it would add too much to the workload, but I say that noting that the last 6 months have been very quiet for the Empowered Community up until very recently. So it's really hard for me to say what, you know, if there's something really controversial or the board has blown up the budget or something really crazy is happening. It's possible that in the future this would become a really huge workload. But for right now, it's very pro forma. It's checking boxes and making sure that all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed. And I don't think it's that burdensome yet. Anyway, you asked for my opinion. Sorry. Sorry if I went too far afield there, but that's just kind of my thoughts on it. But of course,
no,
you guys.
I do appreciate it because you're in the role right now. So, and, you know, obviously extremely immersed in GNSO Council. So, looks like Lori has a question for you.
Hi, Jane. Yes, I do. I want to say thank you because really clarifying, I'm the rapporteur for the WorkStream 2 guidelines for good faith. I forget the whole long title, but basically it's about the Empowered Community and the role on the board removal side and the indemnity of the Empowered Community delegate. So it's directly relevant to the work that we're doing in WorkStream 2. I just want to preface that for the rest of the group. And I don't recall if you mentioned, but as you are in the role of the designee for our part of the EC, is there sort of any sort of coordination or reporting that's done to the community generally? Or is that something that we would have to incorporate into the criterion? Like, is this a process thing at a greater level or a process thing for GNSO? I guess that's my question.
Yes, I understand now. Yes, there is, and that is one of those things that's also just kind of getting underway. There is a, and I'm sorry, I have to jump to another call. There is a website being set up where the discussions and the mailing list and all that stuff will be opened, and all of the reports will be published. And I think staff is currently working on that.
Right, thank you. So then there's no process to reporting back to the GNSO particularly?
So well, only, I think, yeah, it's a good question. I think that really that it's more of a one-way, I mean, the representative could come back to council or the GNSO and say, look, on the Empowered Community, we have been asked specifically to do or review X. Do we want to do that? And then that would be taken up by the various GNSO and the SGs and Cs. I think the other direction would be if one of the stakeholder groups said, I want the Empowered Community to consider, for example, rejecting the budget. So let's take this to council, and if council approves, then we will, you know, then we will instruct the Empowered Community representative to, you know, raise this issue and take our concerns to the Empowered Community. So that's kind of how I see this. I hate to say the word liaison, but it is almost like the representative is silent unless instructed by the EC to take things back to their communities because some other community has specifically asked them to do so, or is taking something to the EC because they've been specifically instructed by their community to raise that issue.
Okay, I think that's really helpful because then it sounds like there's process that needs to be developed on each end of the transaction, and I'm wondering if it's appropriate for this group to think about, the process, and does that process get incorporated into the job description somehow, or is that broad? I mean, I think you might have answered that question earlier, but I'm just trying to keep it focused on on the communication aspect of the role.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm sorry, Susan, I have to join, I have to drop. I have another call waiting for me to join at 9:30.
Okay. Sorry.
So maybe we can get Maxim's question over to you via email then. Thanks so much, James, for your input. It's been really helpful.
Sure, thanks. And just give me a shout or drop me an email if you have any other questions. And apologize, I had to leave so abruptly. But thanks for inviting me.
Thanks for the flexibility in joining us. Okay. Have a good day. Okay. Lori, your hand is still up. Is that another comment or?
Yeah, I just want to clarify in my own head, it's a small group and I've missed a couple of calls, but we're setting out the criteria, and within the qualifying criteria, are we considering a communication process, or is that something that's really for the GNSO as the GNSO to consider in a separate track of work? That's what I'm confused about. That's all.
Yeah, and I was sort of going down that road, too, earlier in our conversation today when we were talking about, I think that the alternate mechanism and procedures or something. But I think James clarified that pretty well, that, our job is just to determine criteria for a candidate for this role, and then, do the call for candidates and then select the person or role. And but that all the processes and procedures should then, we might identify those as we're discussing. I think that's really helpful. I would think that would be helpful to the part of the GNSO council that will determine the processes and procedures for the role, not to find the candidate, though. And so, we can sort of note those just, so that the other group can be aware. They don't have to think it through as much. But it's not our role to figure out how the communication path works and all of the processes surrounding this role. Both sides, I think you identified the fact that on the EC itself, that there could be processes there that need to be developed. But, GNSO is not going to do that on their own. At least that's my take on it. Emily, does that make sense to you, too, from a staff perspective?
Hi, Susan. This is Emily Barbas from staff. Yep, that's also my understanding, is really for the SSC to focus on the selection process and implementing the selection process. And as Maxim pointed out in the chat, and I think confirmed by James, that this group can certainly flag things that might need to be developed down the road. But the actual development of those systems and processes and so forth would be for the council and for the GNSO to do down the line.
Okay. And then, Maxim, your question is whether there would be scheduling conflicts. Emily, would you know if, for example, if they're scheduling a meeting for the Johannesburg meeting, or if they're scheduling a session for the Johannesburg meeting, whether or not that would be taken into account all of the, SOs and ACs' own council meetings, whether there'd be overlap?
Sure. This is Emily Barbas again from staff. My sense, I don't have an exact answer, and that is something we can bring back to James as well, but my sense is that because for the other SOs and ACs, it is somewhat in a leadership position for the counselor equivalent who is in this role, that they probably need to look at if there's going to be overlap between activities that those council leads would be required to take and any commitments in an ICANN meeting for the representative. Noting also that James said that it's not always the case that there will be face-to-face meetings at ICANN meetings. It will be the case in Johannesburg that there will be one face-to-face session, but that isn't the norm necessarily, and most processes will happen through email, as he mentioned. And what was the other part of the question? Just about checking for conflicts, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we can certainly pass that on to James as well. But he did also note in his comments that he didn't see that there would be any issue for a chair to serve in both of those roles. So I assume that, you know, that he sees those two things as compatible from a scheduling perspective. But certainly we can confirm.
Yeah, thanks. That would probably be a good idea. And Maxim, you have a question or a comment?
Maxim Alzoba, for the record. Actually, just funny that when I wanted to ask a question about potential overlap, it was an overlap. So just noting.
That's true. I think James is a pretty busy guy. So, all right. So, okay. And Yulf was saying that the scheduling is done by Doodle. So, as we also have this chart that Emily and Marika prepared for us today, and I'm assuming some of you have read this, and I was wondering if you had any input. I noted Maxim at the beginning of the call had some input. Would you like to go through this? Column by column, or in general, did anybody have a viewpoint they'd like to express about how we should move forward with this? Okay, not seeing hands. So, we've got two, Maxim.
Maxim, I'll go for the record. I think we might go one by one through the options, and since Frederick and Ponsalet is not here, we could just send an email through our list saying that during the this call we discussed this and came to these conclusions, but since not all members expressed their opinions, we need to do it via Doodle or something. And my first notice is about the first line, because James expressed the idea that GNSO chair is fine, and we just add notice that most probably the procedures for fast removal or fast addition of the new representative should be invented, without saying by whom. Thanks.
Okay. And Emily?
Thanks, Susan. This is Emily Barabas from staff. Since some people probably didn't have a chance to look at this too carefully, maybe we can just provide a very high-level overview of what we're looking at and kind of what we've been thinking about in terms of what we'd like to do with this and see if that works for people or if they'd like to go otherwise before running through all the specifics of the text. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Would you mind just doing a brief overview of the document?
Sure. So what we did was we, in the leftmost column, and this is now unsynced so everyone can scroll around for themselves as they need to do. The first column is just the questions that we were talking a little bit about last week, and I think also the previous week, some of the key questions that this group needs to answer in terms of making a selection. And then in the second column, just a short summary of input on these questions that Sam and Trang provided in their presentation in the last meeting. The third column looks at a couple of points that this group raised so far, especially in terms of criteria for a possible selected candidate. And then what we did in the fourth column was look at some potential options for ways that this group could respond to answering the question. So, for example, in the first row, the question of whether the chair is the default or sort of the fallback option, so essentially whether they're the first choice with another selection process being a second choice or the opposite. And as you can see, there are two options there, just sort of listing those things. So they could, the group could select choice one, choice two, or make up a different choice. These are not exhaustive options. It's just to start thinking about a framework for answering the question. So one of the things we were thinking about was potentially sort of opening a poll to see if there's any direction in terms of consensus in the group about how we might want to start to answer these questions for further discussion. And that's something we can discuss if that's something the group would like to do. We could put it together with SurveyMonkey after this call. But I'll give it back to Susan to talk further about that.
Sorry, I was on mute. thank you, Emily, for running through that for us. So, you know, I mean, right now the current status is James in the role. I didn't ask him out, you know, straight out, but it didn't seem like he felt like this was a burden. He did say that, at least, for the chair. So, and I do find it interesting that the other SOs and ACs have all designated their chairs to this role. Not that we need to follow suit, but I do think we need to keep that in mind as we're going through the criteria we're developing, that maybe we do keep this at a very high level within the GNSO leadership. That's sort of a personal opinion on that one. And also he stressed that it's simply a communication role and that decisions aren't made. I think, you know, someone on the GNSO Council would understand that better than those who are not on the GNSO Council. So I'm hoping we could sort of make this simplify the criteria and keep it at a high level of for the criteria on this role. Does anybody else have any input on or thoughts on what they see the criteria is for this role? Maxim, your turn.
Maxim Ozobo, for the record. If we want to keep things simple, we still need to allow members who are not on the call to express their ideas. So I think we might create a poll right of the list of questions we see now on the shared screen. And maybe to add text field of notice or something in the end where person can express their additional ideas, if any. I hope nobody has additional things, but if we allow only choice of those identified options, we might miss something, given two members are not here. Thanks.
Yeah, that's a very good point. So we could take some of the things that we've talked about, you know, and that Emily has listed out some of the options, you know, the rep selected from current GNSO council leadership, the rep selected from current council, the rep is a current or former council member. So we could put this all into a poll. Is there, you know, was there any other questions besides the fact that your points that you've made, the term and renewal, Maxim, does anybody else have any suggestions and questions that we should add to the poll that's not in this document? Looks like a couple of you are typing. So, Lori, I'm not sure what you're talking about as an official alternate.
Okay, can I speak? Is that okay?
Sure. Yes. I'd love to hear your voice.
Yeah, I raised my hand officially, but I'm trying to not be too intrusive because, as I said, I've missed the last two meetings. So, no, that point goes to Emily's suggestion that she speak with the EC to see if there's already an alternative mechanism in place. I was just going to sort of what's the state of play today. The state of play today is that James is the acting, for lack of a better word, but has that contingency already been discussed about, you know, if he can't be available, or is then is he empowered right now to go to Heather, or is there a gap there where he just has to make sure he never gets hit by a bus or has a stomach bug? You know what I mean? Like, it's an important role, and we heard James discuss that attendance needs to be perfect or near perfect, and that's a big burden. And it goes to Maxine's point about a lot of cross-scheduling. And I'm kind of wondering, and this could maybe be out of left field, but maybe it would be useful to maybe have the outgoing GNSO chair, if they're still affiliated with the GNSO. Maybe we put the burden on someone who doesn't have the day-to-day responsibility anymore, but someone who really knows the constituency well, because I feel like the primary consideration should be an understanding about how this SO works, and that it's most likely going to be former officers.
I would agree with that. And so we could add that in as one of our options for criteria, outgoing GNSO chair.
Or having served as chair at some, or maybe having served chair in the last, what is the GNSO chair? Times out at 3 years or 4 years, I don't remember, but have the time frame be the last one to time out, maybe 1 to 2 terms. So maybe not immediately outgoing, but outgoing in the last 3 years or outgoing in the last 4 years or whatever that window we think might be appropriate.
Yeah. So I think the chair is a 2-year term. If I'm remembering correctly with James. So, it could be we would have somebody new every 2 years. So that's an interesting thought.
Yeah, so maybe we would recommend 4 years because that would give you the option of potentially 2 past chairs. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay. Well, let's add that to the possible options. And Maxima?
Maxim Ozubov, for the record, I think we might add a notice to this, the last question, saying that in the case where suggested procedures for fast removal and fast replacement of representatives are developed, we don't have to think about the term because it's not important if the procedure of fast removal of representative or fast a replacement is there. The moment the GNSO Council realizes that the chair is no more, they will use the procedure. That's it. So it's just simplification from a procedural point of view.
Okay. I'm not sure I followed that. If it's the chair, could you just restate that one more time? I didn't follow it.
Yes, we might add the wording saying that, if we add wording about the procedures for the GNSO Council to say that this person is no longer represent us in empowered community administration, and the procedure of fast selection of new representative from GNSO Council. So,
okay.
If they decide to create such procedures, the question of term is not going to be such important because they will be able to replace the representative following this suggested procedure as soon as possible. That's it.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, we'll note that too. And then, one thing I've been thinking about is if this is truly not so burdensome, at least right now, I mean, we, you know, a reevaluation may need to be done down the, you know, a few years if things became turbulent for the empowered community. But it could be, you know, things once procedures are established and things move along smoothly, it could continue to be a lightweight role. So one thing I've been thinking of, is what if we simply said the criteria for the this role is anyone in the leadership team of the GNSO Council. So that would include the chair or one of the two vice chairs. And then we leave it to the leadership team to identify which one of those three would fill that role. And that would also simplify issues when one of them couldn't be, couldn't participate. They got hit by a bus and are in the hospital. One of the other leadership team could take over, members of the team could take over. So, and in some ways this may, you know, maybe I'm punting this, but you have three very well-informed members of council. They've already stepped up to leadership positions and who also work very well together. They're obviously in contact continually between meetings also. And so, you know, if we leave it to them to decide, you just simply say the criteria is the leader, you know, it has to be someone from the leadership team and identify that as chair, two vice chairs, and then they could work out all of the, you know, who's going to actually follow the EC and participate, but then also keep each other apprised of what's going on, so that the alternate situation is easily solved when somebody can't make it. So that's just simply my personal thought on this in keeping it simple. And then Yul's commented, anyone in the leadership team avoids us having to come up with new procedures. That's true. Maxim, with approval of the GNSO chair, and if it's not possible for natural reasons, by GNSO council. Well, Yulf is agreeing to that. So let's put that in as one of our possible, you know, options and for the poll. Is there any other thoughts on this? We're about 5 minutes from the end of the hour. Is there anything you need from us, Emily, for the poll?
Hi, this is Emily Barabas from staff. I think we're all set on the poll. I'll circulate around a draft of what that would look like just to make sure that nothing's missing, and then we'll open that up and leave it open until shortly before next week's meeting. So I think we're all set on that. I think the only thing we need to discuss is the schedule of upcoming calls. So we can get that on the calendar as well. And the proposal was to keep this standing time if that works for people. Otherwise, we can do a doodle.
Okay, that works. And if anybody, I know there were, I think Frederick had a continual conflict, but hopefully he can join us via the poll and mailing list. So, is there any other comments or concerns about SHRE? Okay, so Maxim.
I'm just reading notes on the right. I don't think we need to add text SSC select GNSO leadership team. We do not select them. We might suggest that they are used as an initial pool. Thanks. It's just formal.
Okay. Well, and Emily's going to send around the language for the draft poll, so we can always, you know, on the mailing list, edit the language in the poll, too, before it goes out as the official poll. All right, so we're coming up on the hour. It's last call for comments, and if you... So we'll get the draft out to you soon, and then hopefully get the poll going in the next day or so, and maybe we can come to a decision on this. I forgot to ask James about the RDS review team, and I think that we actually did get the four slots that you chose. The candidates you chose are going to be on the RDS review team, but I'll reach out to him and have him confirm that. And then we soon will have the ATRT to work on. So more work in our future. Hopefully it'll settle down after the ATRT. Looks like a couple more comments are being written in the chat. So, Lori, you and I can probably discuss offline on that question, how they're nominated to other teams. So, thank you all for your work today. It was a good discussion, and we'll move forward with the poll. So we're going to end the call. Thanks so much, Emily and Michelle. Bye.